Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another podcast, Keeping It Real with Caroline and Sophie. Today, we are clinking coffee cups with Lizzie King, the author of Healthy Family Food. And we're going to talk lots about food, food for adults, food for kids and beyond.
And I'd love to start by telling our lovely listeners how I came across Lizzie. First of all, good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a treat to be here. Thank you very much, ladies, for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I discovered Lily? I discovered Lizzie about 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Via a really good friend of mine, Leo Bamford, who has a lovely kids blog called My Bubba. And I used to have two very fussy eaters who are now so unfussy, it's unbelievable. But at the time, I was really struggling with what to cook them. And you basically saved my bacon, which I can't wait to hear all about your journey and all about the things you do, the tricks, the tips, the inside scoop on how you manage to keep your kids and your whole family and you looking gorgeous and glowy and healthy.
I've just got to say, Lizzie, you do look unbelievable. Lizzie was telling us this morning that, you know, she's lived a little bit above 25. But the thing is that there is not a trace of that journey. And how in goodness gracious me, how have you managed to do that? You look unbelievable. You don't even have anything that resembles a wrinkle. The smoothest, most beautiful skin I've seen in a long time.
You are adorable. Can I keep you in my pocket to say that to me every 5 minutes? Well, it was my birthday at the weekend, so you maybe had a few too many glasses and a few less hours sleep than I needed. But so yesterday, this happens in life, right? Nobody can be... No?
But are you saying, Lizzie, that is the recipe to looking as good as you do? I compliment you on how great you look and you say, well, I have drunk a little bit more and slept a little bit less than I normally do. Maybe that is the recipe. Is that your secret?
Well, no, I'm saying is that when you do that, because life has to be enjoyed and lived, I hate the word anti-aging, and I hate the word, I think it's anti-living. Anti-aging is sort of anti-living. So I think if you are going to have fun and enjoy yourself and just embrace life and everything it throws at you, then you do have to have a kind of plan. You have to have a backup, and you have to have a basic, like the kind of railroad that you are on most of the time. And so most of the time, I have pretty good food. I eat tons of vegetables. I'm not a vegetarian, but I have a lot of vegetables. I have a lot of fresh food. I cook most of the food I eat. And I have little hacks. I have a couple of little sneaky hacks.
I love those hacks, Izzy. I'm all about your hacks. Well, I discovered my Great Lakes collagen coffee through you. So thank you, Lizzie. And I don't always tag you when I'm making coffee because I feel like you might be tagged every day.
So can you just share with us exactly what that is?
Well, Lizzie, why don't you tell us?
Okay, so I have loved coffee for as long as I can remember. So most of my hacks are usually little ways round things for me. That it's always about me, you know, because you start things that work for you, and it's the same way I started.
And you've got to enjoy them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it becomes a chore and not an easy thing to follow, basically.
And you're never going to, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So I started getting, the older I got, the more coffee gave me the jitters. And I was like, well, that's just a pain. And then I read and I read and I read. It's my favorite thing to do about with food and nutrition is just have a little dive and find some information out. And there was a ton of people over in America taking collagen with their coffee, which is adding the protein and making you break down and metabolize the caffeine in a different way, okay, whilst so, giving you extra skin goodness.
Okay, I just need to
ask. Whilst doing what, sorry?
Whilst the joy of it all is it gives you a whole boost of skin goodness.
So you can make your Nespresso coffee in the morning, hot, with any kind of milk of your desire, and you can add collagen to that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And Sophie very kindly told me to buy the collagen. So I'm actually going to do that right now. How many tablespoons do I need to add to my coffee?
You can wire it up or take it down. But I do 2 tablespoons. The recipe for my Frappuccino and my, I call it a collagen latte. You can make it with cashew milk, which is on my website. So it's on lizzielovshealthy.com. But 2 tablespoons, you need to then put it in a blender. You can't just put it, she's actually, as we speak, pulling some into her coffee. But you can put it in a blender and whiz it up and it gets really creamy.
That's what I love about it. It makes it so frothy and delicious. And actually it's boring. Flat coffee with some almond milk becomes this big, frothy,
creamy,
delicious
coffee.
Meal,
right? And it doesn't taste, people are terrified.
Oh my god,
collagen.
It really doesn't taste of anything.
No, it's flavorless. But you have to get the decent stuff. So you don't want to get, there's a lot of collagens from dodgy origins. You don't want to, this is grass-fed. You can also have vegetarian and you can have
vegan.
Ocean-sourced collagen. You can go and look on my website and find out all the types.
So where exactly is this collagen coming from? I mean, when it says grass-fed, are we talking about like an animal?
Yes. It's beef. It's from a cow. I mean.
So I have just put 2 tablespoons of
milk equipment.
Cow stuff.
Yes, but
but in the same
collagen.
Way that cow,
it's not like
cow's
a cow
milk
is now in your cup.
So they are extracting collagen from the cow.
Yes.
That we're consuming. Why are they not? What can they can they artificially create collagen?
Yeah, but we want to go all natural.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Can they extract
that.
It from plants?
But could it be extracted from a human?
I'm sure. I mean, chicken stock.
Maybe that wouldn't be so nice.
Chicken stock.
I just put a human in my coffee.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
right. I get
that.
That is
don't
really not
up
nice.
The bones. Yeah, they're like granny's ashes. What?
Oh my God, no. So no, I think basically what it's basically derived from the dairy. Yeah,
if you think of chicken stock, so the other best way, if we're going to keep the collagen chat on, because it's really good for your gut as well as your skin. It's good for everything. It's a really good
bones.
Amino acid. Mm. Yes. So boiling up chicken bones, a chicken carcass boiled and boiled and boiled, you're extracting all. A bowl of chicken broth is an amazing source of collagen.
Well, they say all bone broth is really, really good for you. It's kind of the food for prolonged, healthy life.
Exactly.
And I'm a big
that.
Maker of various bone broths. But I didn't know that it was actually the collagen that you were extracting from the bones.
Yes. All the ligaments and the tendons.
That's the goodness.
Yeah, that is the goodness.
So that is my favourite hack that I've ever discovered from you. My second favourite hack is the cherry juice. And then I've got my third, actually, which is the charcoal. But start with the cherry juice.
Okay, so, yes, anyone would think I'm a sort of medicinal. And my recipe book is normal family food with delicious recipes to get your kids to eat more vegetables. But I found...
And we will come on to that, Lizzie,
sorry. No, I'm just saying in case people are thinking that haven't heard of me before.
That you're a witch doctor.
That I just sit grinding up things in kitchens. So we had 1 year. My kids have, I've got 3 children and they are 11, 9 and 5.
Oh, sweet. Are they the ones featured in your beautiful book?
Yes, they are in my book.
Oh.
And we had, I think it was about 2 years ago, we suddenly had, the clocks went backwards or forwards. Mm. I think it was forwards. And we suddenly had this, we were out of the woods, we didn't have babies anymore, people were sleeping. I'm quite ruthless about sleep, and they have to be, you know, in bed, you know, unless they're dying.
Want to know your nighttime routine, we'll come to that.
We'll do that. But we're not the household that has people tripping down the stairs every 5 minutes talking about their toenails. Mm. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And suddenly we had a night of just a week of such bad sleep because of the, I don't know why they were thrown this year, but it was really bright, it was too hot, it was, everything was wrong. And this 1 hour was cataclysmic.
Mm.
And so I got to my nose to the grindstone and looked and did some reading and looked up because I didn't want to start giving them. Everyone was like, oh, you can find all these, you know, drugs
medical
in the chemist
things,
that
yeah.
just knock them out.
Mm.
And I just didn't want to do that because it doesn't float my boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found a natural source of melatonin in sour cherry juice.
No.
Yes.
No.
And I started
and
reading.
It worked.
I started reading all of these studies. I mean, lots of the studies are funded by cherry juice companies, but that's who funds study. Who else is going to fund a study on cherry juice?
Mm.
But the amount of hours sleep you get in your bed increased. I mean, the numbers are crazy. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try this. Well, it's concentrated fruit juice. What's the worst?
So where do you buy the sour cherry juice from?
You. So again, I've got a smoothie on my website. If you look up Lizzie Loves Healthy and then just put cherry
mm-hmm.
in the thing,
mm-hmm.
I've got a smoothie because it's the combination. It's very sour.
It's very, very bitter, isn't it? Well, not bitter. It's just intense.
Yeah, it's got that very sour taste.
My kids actually love it.
My daughter takes it with a syringe. She just, like, squirts into her mouth. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm not feeling very tired.
Wow.
And, yeah, but the others have the smoothie, and I've got...
What's in the smoothie?
It's got some banana, it's got some yogurt, so other things that
okay.
bananas also have
very good
sleep.
For sure.
Yeah, and it also takes the edge of the sourness off. And we did it for 3 days. The first night it definitely helped. But by the end of the 3 days, we were completely back in. But never mind my family.
I can actually
what
see
is,
anybody that's listening to this podcast and has kids, I can literally see them
running.
On Amazon.
No,
now,
exactly. I'm on Amazon
really.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'm on Amazon
okay.
right now. So which one would you recommend?
So you
just
have
so
to
people
get,
know.
Yes. Well, go to lizzielovehealthy.com and
yep.
search cherry. But because I don't want you all buying the wrong one.
Exactly.
There are so many.
Do you like
dog.
The...
Yeah.
the
I don't, no,
Biona
like,
organic.
I haven't tried that.
We'll show you afterwards, but there is a specific one which we
can
show you when we get
yeah, exactly.
website.
I'll Dynamic
website.
Health.
But what's
organic.
Really interesting is that it wasn't just the reaction that it got from my family. I then shared it on my blog, and I have now had. I was going to say thousands, but let's say hundreds. Literally hundreds. Of mums and dads have sent me messages saying we are weeping because we have now, even last night I got a message saying I've had 8 hours sleep for the first time in a year. And it's a mum who's working hard for a small business at Christmas. And she sent me this. She's actually weeping about it. And so it just feels great. You know,
yeah.
I just changing someone's day makes such a and it's so easy, you know. It's a
but you're not just changing their day, you're actually changing their life because getting sleep is such a life changer.
And it's
I mean,
breaking
sleep
a
is
cycle.
Priceless.
It's breaking a cycle because I think my kids for sure, once they get into that, you know, my kids have actually started doing this again. I'm going to get the cherry juice out tonight.
Is this the one?
Where they get into bed
yes.
and they at 7:30, but they don't fall asleep till 9. So it's an hour and a half.
Right.
Mummy, I'm thirsty.
Fidgeting.
Mummy, I'm hot.
Yeah.
Mummy, I'm cold. Mummy, I'm this. Mummy, I'm that. And by an hour and a half later, I'm like, Mummy is literally going to jump out of the window. She's
You've
so
lost
fed
your marbles, and they're getting less and less likely to fall
so
asleep.
So now, when do you give it to them? An
well,
hour before.
It depends how kind of crucial the situation is. I if it's just an average Monday and they're. I would do it just at 6 o'clock. Just,
okay.
You know,
after supper,
before
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But clocks going back, or jet lag, if you're going on holiday
and
you're flipping time zones, I start the day. I mean, a friend of mine did this, Sasha, our friend, our mutual friend.
Yes.
Took her kids to Australia, and she, with the littlest, she did the cherry juice. The only one who flipped time zones, and the other kids were just
was
like
her.
A pain. Was the little one, yeah.
How
amazing.
Amazing.
What
amazing.
A brilliant
so once we buy this, cherry juice, and it's obviously got to be tart cherry juice.
It's got to be the sour Montmorency. Yeah, there's loads and loads and loads of these cherry juices.
Would you also recommend organic ones?
No, because I think those are different.
I
so
think the best
on
one,
market.
The best thing to do is go to Lizzie's blog and click on her link because then you're going to get the right one. Otherwise, you could. There's too many out
there's,
there.
There's so
I
many.
Went to your blog and I clicked. Now, I want to move on to charcoal because I know we've only got an hour and there's a lot we want to hear from you.
Yes. So
charcoal.
once again, this was...
This is the best one, let me tell you, because I did this recently.
I feel like this is the most urgent one.
Yes,
as much as sleep is a present that you can't you know, is completely priceless. Mm. This one for me, so again, it was born out, of a major catastrophe in our household. Mm. So I was away working. Mm. I was on a food shoot in Italy. Mm-hmm. And very rarely am I abroad for work, but there I was. And the first morning, I get a text message from my husband saying the smallest, who at the time was three, she's been sick all night from midnight until six in the morning. He's been throwing up all over everyone. And this also never happened, like never happened. So I was just beside myself and we were literally in the middle of a shoot. We had photographers hanging from ceilings and I was trying to prep food and it was like,
and then stressed.
And I was feeling so upset about that and my poor husband and my poor son and what should we do and what is it? But then I just took myself away and thought, sort of put my head together and thought, okay, what would I do if it was me? And I always take charcoal, activated charcoal, which is used in A&E to draw toxins out of the body. You know, it's been used for centuries by other people who are much wiser than us. I thought, okay, well, I don't know if it's okay. He's three. I don't know, but I'm going to tell my husband it's charcoal. The worst thing that's going to happen is just going to go straight through him. So it's totally natural again. It's, you know, it's not chewing a piece of coal. It's not the same. And
so it's obviously powdered.
It's in a capsule, but I got him to put it. I got him to make up the special
drink.
Again,
we'll share the link with you after this.
Yeah, if you go to Lizzie Loves Healthy and Vomit Bugs or whatever, there's. Anyway, he gave him this black drink through a straw
with a bit of apple juice.
Yeah. Yeah. And
sweeten it up.
And he sucked it up. The poor little guy who literally had been throwing up all night and. I was getting updates all the time. Half an hour later, there was a picture of him fast asleep. And I thought, oh, God, okay, well, either he's, you know, going to go to A&E soon because he's collapsing. Or let's just see. 2 hours later, he slept for 2 hours. He woke up
starving. And
said, Daddy, can I have some porridge?
Bless him.
And if I'd been there, I don't know what I would have done. I might not have given him porridge. Probably gave him porridge. He was completely turned around.
It's amazing.
And
it really happened to me recently. I never go that far from home when I go out an evening. And I went all the way to the O2 to watch Michael McIntyre with my best girlfriend, Sal. And we're sitting there laughing our socks off. And I get a text message from my au pair, my lovely au pair at home, saying, Finn's just been sick all over the house. You know, it was 11, about three or four weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I panicked. I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? You know, the au pair's lovely, but he's not a parent.
Yeah.
So I felt very, very desperate to get this situation resolved. So I called my ex-husband, who jumped into his pyjamas, drove to our house, got the activated charcoal. I gave him, obviously, step-by-step instructions, because when these things happen...
How did it pop into your head?
Because I've done it before with Harry.
Right, right.
And it worked. And he didn't want to take, he said, I don't want to drink the black drink. And we, you know, we made it sound very magical. And, you know, he was going to have lovely dreams and all this. Took the
charcoal.
Did
you use a straw? Because that's something else and they can't see.
And the apple juice. He sucked it down. I leapt in an Uber. It took me an hour and a half to get back from the O2 in a panic attack. But I knew my ex-husband was there, so I was all right. Got home. He was fast asleep. Like nothing had happened. He woke up the next morning, hungry, back on his feet again. And Harry actually had the same thing. A few nights earlier, it must have been a bug. I thought it might have been food poisoning, but exactly the same thing. So it's tried and tested, and it really, really works. And the other thing that I've done, thanks to you, is I've started putting activated charcoal sticks in my water jug.
Mm.
Rather than using the Brita filters and having to buy the filters and the refresh, you know, the refills and whatever. And now I just have sticks of charcoal in my water bottles. Actually, I use Caroline Fleming's glass water bottle.
Nice
an
glass water bottle rather than
plastic. Charcoal. And it draws out all the impurities from the water. So you have purified water in a beautiful.
And you know, funnily enough,
jug.
As long as I can remember, the Danes have been using crystals and charcoal sticks in their water. It's
really?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that it became, you know, a huge fad recently to start whitening your teeth with charcoal as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, if charcoal can remove old stains from teeth, imagine what it can remove from the body.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, when I started reading up, I was blown away. And it, you can, the sticks that we got rid of all the plastic Brita crap. And we have sticks in our glass bottles. So we don't buy any water anymore.
Exactly.
We get it from the tap, put the stick of charcoal in.
Better for you.
And then after you've used, they last for 3 months. You then boil them up.
Yeah.
use them for another 3 months. Then you stick them in smelly trainers, and it takes the smell out of trainers.
Okay.
Or you just
put
them in the garden, and they turn into... I mean,
that's
it's literally...
They're great.
Yeah.
And you've definitely changed my world with those. So that's three fantastic hacks, Lydie. We've got the collagen, which I have every day. We've got the cherry juice, which I'm going to start again tonight. And we've got the activated charcoal for your kids that are vomiting. So
can I just
already,
make a quick note about the charcoal? Because lots of people ask me. It's also quite good for hangovers. Not for your children. I don't suggest your children having hangovers. but it is, yes, I take it the night
when
before.
When do you take it? The night
before?
Before you
start, yes, it can help with that.
That's a
but
good idea.
But you mustn't take charcoal every day, because it does take other things. For example,
exactly.
If you're
that's,
taking a contraceptive pill or any medication, it takes other things out of your
the
system.
The bad stuff out.
No,
so
what
about
if
you did
stop
it?
You could stop your pill working,
right.
Or it could stop any other medication you're working, or
that
it could.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
What about if you, like, when you take a 20,000 unit vitamin D once a week and it's slow release? What about if you did it once a week as part of a healthy diet? And obviously, if you
might
had a hangover, wanted to protect yourself against a hangover, or someone was vomiting, then of course you could use it more often. But something that I just quickly want to pick up on is the minute Lizzie walked into my kitchen today, she said, "Oh my God, I've been here before. We had this wonderful..."
We're going to share this.
"Wonderful lunch recently. This girl's lunch, which was awfully jolly." And what I'm just picking up on here with Lizzie, which I absolutely love, and I think this is actually a really important point, because Lizzie obviously is a pioneer of being healthy. Healthy adults, healthy children, healthy body, healthy mindset, healthy everything. And what I think is so important is that we don't become too obsessive. And as you can hear, Lizzie clearly has got a wonderful balance in her life. And that's what I really picked up on. She does eat her cakes. She does eat her chocolate. And she absolutely also does drink her booze, whatever it might be. She really enjoys life to the full. And I think that's really, really important, doing everything in balance.
In moderation as well.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Going back to your book, because that's also massively important and part of you. What are the things that you feel are really important to feed your children, you, your family? What are sort of the key ingredients that you try and use, and how do you get fussy eaters to eat them?
Yes. Well, so the reason I started writing the book, or the reason I started my Instagram account, which came before the book, was because I just felt that kids' food was this sad, depressing place with either hidden vegetable sources or just beige, bland nursery food. I mean, when we were growing up, we definitely had pretty, you know, we had cornflakes with loads of sugar on, or we had Weetabix with loads of sugar on. But
fish
we didn't.
Fingers,
yeah, we had.
Or the puffs with lots of sugar on.
Yeah, but we had kids' food.
Yeah.
And then as we got older, we got the good stuff. And I felt like, you know, the Italians and the, you know, they just sit around the table with their nonnas and they have the delicious pastas and the delicious fungi. And why can't, you know, we don't have to. By being healthier and more into food doesn't mean you don't have to, you can't let your kids have the good stuff too.
Yeah,
so,
just because you're a child doesn't mean you can't have the good stuff.
Yeah, the whole slightly British, I think, mentality of, oh, we'll save that's for the grown-ups,
yeah,
and this is what the kids are having.
Yeah, it's funny because the Brits have always been one of the few countries where children and parents didn't eat together. Take, for example, Scandinavia, where I'm from. You know, they'd look upon you as slightly criminal if you didn't enjoy every single meal with your children.
Mm.
So there was no eating the children off, you know, at 5:30 with a nanny, and then the parents, once the children are off to bed, seen and not heard, the adults then sit down and have their jolly dinner with wines, etc., etc. In Scandinavia, we all eat together, and we all eat the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the dinners may be a little bit earlier, but, you know, that is also, I think, one of the reasons behind it being a very happy country, because we really spend quality time together.
I totally agree with that.
And especially around meals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think one of the things we've lost as a society is sharing, for, you know, this one kid watching a screen, eating something somewhere. I'm not saying that, you know, all of our children necessarily, but generally as a country, I mean, the kids, the data last week about the childhood obesity, and there are now 7,000 cases of childhood type 2 diabetes. In 2000, there was zero. There was no childhood diabetes.
On that note, how have you taken your children off sugar, and how do they? Because I see your little one on your Instagram, loving the things you're cooking for. He gets so excited, he starts jumping up and down most days at what you're about to feed him.
But I just want to ask you, Lizzie, is it completely 100% sugar-free?
No, so the recipes in my book are unrefined sugar, that I haven't added sugar because I wanted it to be a black and white. I didn't want it to be some here, there's a bit there. And because I was finding it depressing that lots of the pasta sauces and lots of the kids' recipe, in order to lure kids to eat stuff, people were adding sugars and hidden sugars. And and I just thought that was, I didn't like that. So in a sort of a principle way, I did write this 3 years ago. It came out last year, but I started writing it 3 years ago. If I did it now, I think I might have a slightly different approach because my kids are a bit older. And I definitely allow them to have sugar. That it's not banned in our house. But I don't buy packets of biscuits, and I don't buy things that are going to be full of lots of other things.
But you will bake a delicious biscuit, and you will use raw cane sugar, for example, or you will use maple syrup.
Yeah.
You'll use whole food ingredients.
Yes.
No refined ingredients. And no processed, refined foods that you buy in a supermarket. Everything you will make at home.
Yes.
Using whole ingredients.
Yes. And I found that, again, whilst I was recipe testing for the book, I found that lots of the very healthy alternative type recipes that, you know, sort of the young gym bunny type people were making were just the same amount of sugar if you worked it out, but just in pulsed dates or in... And I just thought, I just don't want my kids having such a strong sugar flavor in all their food.
So would you say, because I very much believe in this, for example, when we have our tea in the morning, and we do love a good English breakfast tea with milk, and we like sweet tea, but we sweeten it with maple syrup. Mm. And I've learned that maple syrup, first of all, is one of the few whole food alkaline sweeteners that there is. It's actually alkaline, and it's very anti-inflammatory, and it's very, very easy for the body to digest because you literally simply burn the whole food. You burn it in terms of energy, in terms of the calories that you... and this is one of the best sweeteners that you can use, and to me, actually, it tastes equally delicious. I actually find that it tastes more delicious.
It's funny,
I don't even
actually
like the taste of white sugar anymore.
When you switch from sugar in your tea, which I did as well, a long time ago, I now can't stand the taste of sugar or artificial sweeteners. I can't stand that stevia, horrible...
Oh, no, that's
it's
disgusting,
it's
too.
Horrible.
But isn't it extraordinary? If you sit looking at a, you know, like my grandmother, for example, my sweet, gorgeous grandmother, she would have, you know, her little sugar pot, which was filled with white sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And today when I look at it, it's almost as if it's... you know, what's it called when it's so bright you can see that it's been bleached. I almost feel as if I think if we put white sugar in one of those dark rooms where teeth become really, really white, I think the same thing would happen with sugar because it's so artificial somehow now to look at white sugar.
Well, it's from sugarcane, but it's had everything decent stripped away from it, and then it's had stuff added, bleached, and so it's literally a pathetic.
I have to say, though, that sugar cane, I was recently in Asia, where I tasted my first freshly squeezed sugar cane.
Wow.
Which I have not had since I was a child and spent a lot of time in the Caribbean.
It's got
and
flavor.
It is one of the most delicious things I've ever had. It's not white at all. Quite on the contrary, it's kind of yellowy-greeny. And so delicious. And that didn't feel, when it came into my body, because I'm sensitive like you are, I can feel coffee and it makes me shake. And I can also feel, you know, if I've had a day where I feel super hungover and the only thing my body is screaming for is a really big juicy burger, very, very crunchy, crispy, salty fries with ketchup and mayonnaise and Coca-Cola with ice cubes and a bit of lemon. And this is what I really feel like. I'm also very sensitive to how I feel afterwards. It doesn't make me feel that great, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the sugar cane juice, actually, it felt great. It didn't feel as if I had stuffed myself with junk, you know?
Yeah.
It felt like a whole
but
food,
it's very,
like
can
maple
you buy
syrup,
that
for that matter.
I mean, can you... I don't know.
I'm sure you can. But what I was going to say about the maple syrup is I feel the same with all foodstuffs. It's just about the sourcing and the provenance of the ingredients. Mm. I mean, maple syrup and maple syrup and maple syrup are not the same.
Yes.
You know, you can get syrups that have sort of fall in brackets or in you know, and they aren't from a maple tree. They are basically a form of sugar in a syrup version
flavors.
With flavors added. Mm. Yeah, so my mantra is always just read the label. Like, if you don't know where stuff comes from, you know, if you haven't picked it from the garden, or I don't have a garden to pick from either, then know who your veg supplier is, know who your meat guy is, and look if it's in a packet, read every blinking ingredient.
Yes.
So my thing, I mean, we're not a sort of magical Mary Poppins situation, and we don't all sit down to dinner every night together and lunch, you know, and everyone sweetly talks about what they've done at school today. We definitely have grunts and people that don't want to eat things. But essentially, what I aim for is
not
that
every day is Mary Poppins
not
in anyone's house. Sometimes you're really lucky.
But
and
it is a fight.
Well, and eating well.
Food is
a
relentless chore that we all have to. This was one of my problems.
Mm.
Was okay. Food has been my great joy throughout my life, and cooking a dinner party for my friends on a Saturday would take the whole day. I'd spend the morning going to delicious places to buy the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would then spend an afternoon marinating things and cooking things, and then they'd come round. And we'd all have a delicious feast, and everyone would say how amazing it all was, and then we'd all go to sleep. However, you have kids. They never say they like it. They never tell you that you're amazing, and you have to do it again and again and again. And as soon as you've cleared up one meal, you've got to start the next. So it kind of sucks the joy out of it. And I was trying to add some more of the joy back in my book by making it much easier than it seems.
So what do you do that makes it much easier? What is it that you...
So I sat down and I thought, okay, well, I want my kids to eat more vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to have a lump of meat and then some soggy sides, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of how kids' food was framed.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so let's make the vegetables delicious. Let's make the flavours really great. I mean, actually, kids, we shouldn't, you know, so often we patronise them in the UK, and we don't give them flavors, and we think that they're just not going to like them. But you know, my daughter has been eating anchovies since she was about six. All my kids love avocados, and I just didn't have an avocado until I was about 18. I just didn't think it happened.
No, need to die, actually.
So I just try and keep it broad. Try and keep the flavors. If you have a lot of flavor in food, sugar is a sort of shortcut for flavor.
Mm.
If you don't have any flavor, stick some sugar and salt in it and they'll eat it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Pringles are essentially sugar, salt and fat combination that you can't resist because they've found a special sweet spot that our bodies are unable to resist. No, literally, they got men in a lab, and it's called the bliss point.
Really?
Yeah, this is what food manufacturers call it. It's called the bliss point. And when you get the bliss point in a test tube, it's like, this is how we're going to do this food. And Pringles have this magical bliss point, which means you are physiologically incapable of not wanting more.
Really?
How extraordinary.
Yeah.
Isn't that frightening?
So if you don't have any more, it's because you...
Thing.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what these GM... These MG... What are they called? The
MSG. GMO. Oh,
yeah.
MSG.
Yeah, MSG. Is that basically what it does?
It's,
adding the MSGs.
It's the triumvirate of the level of salt, the level of fat, and the level of sugar together...
Yeah.
That your body, you know, from how we've been created as since cavemen, cannot, you know, it hits the hypothalamus and all your endorphins, and you cannot stop.
But I think it's very interesting because, as I understand.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Chinese food, for example, has the highest levels of these, yet they still become old. You know, they still don't have, you know, the diseases across America seem far worse than diseases across China. Although
maybe we don't hear about them.
I think the Chinese food that they're cooking in their homes are not the same as the MSG rich ones that we get.
I think the problem is
it's cheap food. Maybe at the end of the day, it's what you see in McDonald's and that's what you have.
I mean, what they're eating,
as much as you can for $3.99 Asian food.
Yeah. I mean, what they're eating might not be what we choose to eat in terms of the animals they're eating.
Sure.
But they're probably cooking them, boiling them down, boiling the bones, getting their collagen, and you know all that sort of thing. But that's so interesting. So it does actually make us become addicted to bad food if we give it to our children, and then they'll crave it more and want it more. So we're back after a little break. Caroline had a really sleepless night last night, so she's gone off to have some acupuncture to go and reboot herself. And Lizzie and I are still in the kitchen wanting to share the last bit of the podcast with you about what to do if you've got really fussy eaters who don't want to eat that good home-cooked meal, and who would rather have a McDonald's or a fish finger or some processed food. How do you really get them back in the flow of wanting to eat good things? And in Lizzie's book, she's actually got a chapter called 10 Steps to Cracking a Fussy Eater, which is hugely helpful, and certainly I've referred to in times of need. So Lizzie, talk to me a bit about how you crack that.
I think it's probably the question I get asked most. After questions about the sleep and the charcoal, because I get most of my messages are about that. But after that, and I do cooking workshops and demos and classes, and the main theme of them tends to be, even if it's not all your kids, one won't eat this, one won't, you know, what do I do? It's driven me to the brink. And I know that feeling, and my kids do eat lots of good things, but it hasn't always been the case, and it isn't always the case. So I have a few little tips and tricks that I think are very useful, but I also have a kind of general overview that I think is useful to bear in mind. I think firstly, try not to be the sort of didactic parent standing over your kids telling them what to eat. I think if the vibe in the kitchen is
you have to eat this, do that,
then it's already a kind of miserable situation.
Yeah.
The whole finishing your plate thing, which again, I'm not saying I had a terrible childhood at all, but that was one of the things. We had to finish what was on our plate. And I really, really, really don't believe that is a good thing.
And that actually really helped me with that. Because I always used to think my kids have to have a certain amount of calories, certain amount of vegetables, certain amount of protein. And I always used to get them to finish to the point where they actually look like they might pop. And I never do that anymore. Once they've had enough, they've had enough.
Exactly. And I think as your kids get older and you get to know how they are and which ones are like what, then you can kind of gauge it and you can suss it out. But I think you have to see all of it from their point of view more.
Yeah.
And I think once you're on a level with them and thinking, for example, my daughter, she's 9 now, but I'll say to her, ask your tummy, you know, do you feel full? Are you full enough? Or do you just want to get down because everyone else is having fun next door or whatever? You want to go on to the next thing? And they'll pretty much say to me, oh, yeah, actually, I probably will be a bit hungry in half an hour. So then she'll have a bit more. But it's a question of working out if they just don't want to eat it for the sake of it. If they hate it, and again, if they hate something, there's absolutely no point in forcing it into them. Try it again a different way. So my tip, if they hate, I hate courgettes, or I hate sweet potato, you know, we definitely get this in my house. And then I have a sit down and we have a little like tete-a-tete. Mm. And I go, look, and this has happened, you know, since they were really tiny, because I think from a very young age they get it. And I say, look, it's the same as someone in the playground. If you walk into your nursery and the guy walks in with shoes you don't like or with a haircut you don't like, and you go, mummy, I don't like him, you're not going to know until you've had a chat with him. So yeah. Wait until you've had a little chat. Mm. And they're like, they look at me and then they get it. And once they've got something that they get, then they kind of come onto your side. And so I go, you just have to try it. This courgette is not the same as yesterday's courgette. You know, yeah. You can have a deep fried courgette. You can have courgette in pasta sauce. You can have a courgette fritter.
Spaghetti courgette.
Exactly.
Yes,
but it's so different every which way you have it.
Yeah.
So I say, you've got to try this one out and see whether you like it or not.
And what I've actually discovered is if you get them to make the thing. So with the spaghetti courgette, my boys and we haven't done this for ages, actually, so I've got to get it out again.
Yes.
My kids love that machine.
The spiralizer.
Stick it on the end.
It's so fun.
Turn the hand, it comes out as hair.
Oh my God.
And then it cooks in 30 seconds.
Exactly.
You just literally blanch it.
And
it's crunchy.
A really good trick, actually, with that, and it's not hiding. I really, really, really hate the hiding the vegetable thing because you're duping your kids. I want my kids to know what they're eating, and I want them to enjoy it. But you can do half. So you can do half spaghetti, normal, regular pasta, and then put some courgette in with it.
Good idea.
So then they are eating a ton of courgettes, but it's also with their pasta. And courgettes, along with spinach, don't have a very strong flavor. They're not revolting, you know, plate-altering flavors. But kids just assume...
But with the spaghetti bolognese sauce, actually, together, it sort of absorbs the taste of the sauce. And it's actually more delicious sometimes than the actual pasta. And funnily enough... oh my gosh, I've just totally forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Sorry. I was pulled a complete mind blank now. I don't know what happened. Suddenly my brain went...
But that was going to be another one of my tips with... Because vegetables are what you want your kids to be eating more. I mean, we all need to eat more. I need to eat more vegetables. I mean, every day I think that. We need more vegetables.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Yeah, carry on.
The focus is we all need more fresh veg. So if they don't like this and they don't like that, and lots of families come to me right at the end of their tether and like, well, no, we don't eat any of those things anymore, because one by one, things have fallen off the list of what we can eat because they don't like courgette and they don't like sweet potato. And this is where it's really dangerous, because then you have, 2 years down the line, a child who will eat white pasta and white bread, and there's a lot of them out there. So what you need to make sure is that you keep bringing it back in, even if they've said, I don't like courgettes. And it's not about torturing them. It's about, as I was just saying just now, doing it a different way. Mm. So if my eldest has always said he doesn't like sweet potato, but then I came up with, and it was for him really, but it was the first recipe that I got for the book. It was the sweet potato bhajis. Have you ever made them?
No, but I have made your fish pie with the sweet potato topping, which is delicious.
Exactly. And so if you're just using it in a way that he loves burgers and he loves patties, so I turned the sweet potato, grated it, and added some other delicious things, and turned it into a little patty, and now he loves it.
Yeah, clever.
So if you just don't resign yourself to chopping out food groups or vegetables that you think they're not going to like, just keep at it.
Keep reintroducing it. And actually, the one thing that I've discovered with my kids is they hate anything too squishy. The texture's really
can
important.
Be key. Yeah.
So all pasta has to be al dente. Rice has to be al dente. Vegetables have to be al dente. Mm. And not too hard that they're going to be crunchy, but... Just not all soft. And I remember as a child, I used to have very soft broccoli.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything was... But I loved
watery.
It.
Yeah.
I loved mashed potato. My kids hate mashed potato. So it's all about the crunch.
Well, that's another really, really important thing. I'm glad you brought that up, Sophie, you wise mother. But it's... Whilst we're sort of thinking about things from their point of view, the other thing that people don't think is that their mouths are so much more sensitive than ours. They have many, many, many more taste buds than us. So flavours are much stronger, and textures have much more of an impact. And again, some children are highly sensitive. Mm. And my eldest can't do squelchy, mulchy, like macaroni cheese or cauliflower cheese, anything like that. He cannot do. And I just used to blow my top and I used to go, I don't understand it. You like this and that. But then you do it another way around. Like, for example, cauliflower grated in anything. Add it to rice.
That's
add
a
it
great
to
idea.
Pulse it up. put it in.
In our lovely Thermomix. Lizzie and I most recently went to a lovely Thermomix lesson.
Yeah, that was lovely, wasn't it?
Such a fun afternoon. And that is a great tool in the kitchen, I have to say.
Brilliant.
For the hacks, for the pain in the neck sort of things that take a while.
Exactly, but also for getting your kids involved. Because they stand, my littlest, Phoenix, just stands next to me and chucks things in because it weighs it all. It
and it's good for the maths as well, actually.
Yeah, and the reading. Yeah,
exactly.
Next.
No, but in all seriousness, it's so true. You know, I used to really struggle with Harry when he was little. He had awful reflux as a baby. And as a result, we had to go and have the medication and he didn't have the milk. And it was all just a nightmare.
Really
I didn't sleep for a year. And as a result, it's slightly ingrained in him. Well, I don't know whether it was medical or psychological, but he had that gag reflux that would kick in.
Reflex.
And if I gave him too much food, he would throw the whole lot up in five minutes later, the whole lot would come out all over the table.
Mm.
And I used to get so angry because I used to think he's doing it on purpose. But of course, obviously I didn't get angry with him at the time.
Yeah.
But I used to think inside, I've just spent bloody ages making that delicious home-cooked whatever it was.
And now it's all come out.
And now it's all over the table. I've got to start again or he's going to go to bed hungry and wake up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a constant battle, really, until I realised that actually, even though they're little and they can't tell you when they're full or not full sometimes because they'd rather watch the TV or they'd rather have Games, Snakes and Ladders or whatever it is, they have got a say in what they're eating.
Yes.
And I always now give the kids a choice of two options. I have enough in the fridge that they can either have something simple like a pasta something or they can have a breaded fish with some potatoes and some vegetables. But I always give them the both options. They're not difficult to make. It's not like I'm going to give them a roast chicken and a stuffed partridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's simple.
Yeah.
But if they have a say, if they get involved,
but yes,
tell me
just
how
including
like
them
it.
In the decision making.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, really disagree with people who make 45 different things. One person has this, one person has that, one person, because that just creates a nightmare. But I think they get in from school and you go, oh, we've got this and this, what would you like?
Yeah,
I think it's
exactly.
a really nice way of getting
and actually,
them involved.
Last night, I mean, it is a bit of a pain, but Finn adores chicken fajitas. Harry can't bear the consistency of the soggy wrap with the chicken because when you put the ingredients in, it makes it go all floppy, which makes him gag. So Harry has the chicken fajita, you know, stir-fried peppers and chicken, and then we put it with noodles, which he loves.
Perfect.
A little bit crunchy. So Finn has his fajitas, Harry has his noodles, but it's the same base.
You put it in a lettuce wrap.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Mm. Yeah, he'd probably really enjoy that.
That's a really another really good way of getting really fussy ones, is making, we used to call it, what do we call it, pick and mix. I mean, my kids have never been to a pick and mix, but I thought it was a nice word.
Mix in my
you have, well, they don't really exist anymore.
They do
at
the
cinema.
Yeah.
So
and
you
Halloween,
get
a, every mother's worst nightmare.
God, Halloween, that's a whole nother chapter. But you can get your delicious chicken fajitas. We used to have fish tacos a lot, and well, we haven't had them for ages, but they're super popular. And I'd get the really nice fish, I'd make that, and then we'd have little bowls of, one would have a little tomato thing, one would have a little avocado, one would have little peppers, and have them all on the table.
So lovely.
So they can put it all in.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, we're putting stuff on them, and we're saying, this is your supper, finish that, do this. And actually, a lot of the time, they want a tiny little bit of independence, a little bit of...
And it's nice to get them involved, even when they're little. I agree.
And
actually, that was always
the joy
something.
They get out of building their own thing. Even if it goes everywhere, who
cares? No, it's such a good idea.
And then they shovel it into
their
mouth, and they just have fixed...
And we do the same, actually. When we've come home from school, I'd always put a pot of hummus on the table with homework, and either peppers, cucumbers, or some...
Yeah.
Hot pita bread, which is delicious, cut up.
Yeah,
and dipped in there.
Delicious.
So they have a little, you know, healthy snack when they come home. I'm not going to lie; occasionally they are allowed a bit of chocolate.
Yeah,
a
chocolate.
But you know, it's a bit of a treat, and they don't have it all the time. But it's all about just giving them that option and that sort of time to get involved and their little say, giving them a bit of control, a bit of power.
Yeah.
And then actually what's happened since, you know, all the problems we had with Harry and food is he now absolutely loves his food.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Ever since I've seen him, he's eaten
amazingly.
He
literally turned around so quickly, once my attitude started, changing, and also my ex-husband, I have to say, I have to give him credit here. He was a massive factor in... He used to take the children out to Chinatown when they were like three because he liked it.
Oh, brilliant.
And I was like, what are you doing? First of all, they're going to get lost. And second of all, they're never going to eat anything there because they're so fussy. And they come back and they go, we had the best time. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, darn. No, but in all seriousness, they're obsessed with, duck rolls and pad thai.
Yeah.
You know, that's not Chinese, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And dim sum and all those little things where they're getting it on their own. They're able to sort of choose their own flavours and get really involved in it. So I think it's massively important to give them a bit of power.
Completely.
In the kitchen.
And also, we sort of touched on it before, but giving them the information. I mean, I think so much of old school kind of couple of generations ago, kids' food information was... it'll put hairs on your chest, or it'll make your hair curly, or that broccoli will turn you into Superman. I mean, the books I was reading.
Dark.
Yeah.
That's what I used
Although
to.
That's kind of, carrots do help with your eyesight a little bit. But I was just like, I don't want to feed my kids complete bullshit. Am I allowed to swear on your podcast?
Yeah.
Thanks. I want them to, because they get it. They get when they're being patronised, and they get when grown-ups talk absolute crap to them.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, let's just make this actually real. Keeping it real, Sophie.
Well, there we go. I'm all about keeping it real.
So little, I mean, obviously a two-year-old who's throwing his fish cakes across the room at you, which has definitely happened to me. So while you're ducking on the floor, picking bits of broccoli up, it's not going to understand about vitamin D or whatever you're reading in your nutrition book. But... as I was doing I did a nutritional health coaching course, and as I was doing that, I would just find things so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And so I just feed them a little bit of some information. And I would say, well, look, you may not want the rest of that rice that's got some spinach in it because you don't like the green bits, but the green bits actually are the bits that go into your blood and make your blood go around your body and help when you breathe. Turn that into oxygen, and then they go, okay, so you'll be able to run faster on the football pitch.
It's
and then
brilliant.
They get it.
That's such a good idea. And actually, Harry would love that kind of information.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have you over more often, Lizzie.
Well,
I
can always come over for a little kids' tea session.
Yes, we'd love that. But yeah, no, I think you're right. Just giving them the information, being honest with them, showing them what you're doing, giving them a choice, getting them involved, it all really helps to break that cycle of somebody sitting down at the table being served a plate of food and saying, I don't like it.
Exactly.
And you standing over the top of them going, well, you need to eat that, which is just the worst sort of psyche to give your children and yourself, actually, because you can drive yourself nuts as
Totally. And I think above and beyond all of it, well, I mean, obviously we want them to eat the rainbow and colour in the chart on the fridge. That is, by the way, a brilliant tip that I got from Wrong. And do you know who I mean by Dr. Chatterjee?
Mm-mm, no.
Well, if anyone's listening who does know about him, he's a genius, but he's a doctor who has just written a book about, it's called Four Pillars of Health. But one of the things he did with his kids was rainbow chart.
We'll link that on with our stories. Four Pillars of Health, and that's a good one for.
He's a GP, but for general health, about sleeping, eating. And he said what he did with his kids, he's got kids, is he put a chart on the fridge. I know we have charts coming out of our ears, but. He put orange, yellow, red, I think. He put a few colours up and he had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday down the side. And they had to colour in. When they had a red thing to eat, they colour in the red one. When they had an orange thing to eat.
That's a good idea.
And I did it with my kids. And I remember at the end of the first day, Phoenix opening the fridge, picking a red pepper out of the fridge and just sinking his face into it, saying, I haven't had my red one yet today. And I just thought, this is genius.
So cute.
But by making it a good thing to do, they get it.
Yeah, and actually they get excited about joining in the bigger picture. And what's also interesting is when they start learning about their body at school,
yes.
is what makes them feel good. And they quite often know as well.
Keeping
them
in touch with it.
They often want to just go and slouch about. They don't want to go running outside on the trampoline. But if you give them some fish and some nice veg and a noodle or whatever you're going to give them, they're actually much happier, more contented, sleep better. And that's actually one other tip for all the parents out there, which are quite often tricky. You know, because you don't well, I don't have time to always make the pudding after the main course. So I quite often buy a Müller Corner or whatever, which are full of sugar.
Mm.
So we've tried to cut back on that sort of stuff. Mm. And we now do a really easy pudding. I make some rice pudding at the beginning of the week.
Mm.
Or just kind of low sugar. Just
natural
sugar.
Yogurt with some fruit in.
Yes, the natural yogurt, the coconut yogurt they love with the honey. Is honey bad or good?
Honey's good. It's okay. Good honey, it's fine.
Yeah. But just finding alternatives for giving them ice cream or sticky toffee pudding or once in a while are okay.
Not thinking every meal has to end with a pudding.
That's true.
That
as
was
well.
Such an old school thing that we
and
had.
I always say to my boys, you know, eat more of the good stuff. So you don't need to have as much of the stuff in the pudding. And actually quite often we never have pudding anyway.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Or I've completely forgotten and then they maybe have a smoothie with loads
of
berries. Exactly.
Well, that's what we do. And we also, well, now we used to do your cherry smoothie, which we're now going to do. I'm going to see if it changes
on it.
Well, Lizzie's going to come back because we have got a whole book here of delicious recipes, which we haven't even touched upon. And we would love to have you back, Lizzie, for part two when Caroline's returned from her acupuncture session.
But what I would just quickly like to say that I think is the overarching thing to remember about feeding kids before I'm very excited to return, but in case we haven't pummeled it home enough just now, is that we must just remember that it is such a joy, food, you know, above and beyond the vitamin content. It's something that we should all be enjoying. And it's such a privilege. If we've been given these sweet little humans, we are privileged enough to give them food. You know,
absolutely.
We are giving them their first tastes and flavours. And
that's such a nice way of looking at it, actually.
Yeah.
So, and I actually remember, just quickly going back to that, I remember when Harry and Finn went on solids first of all. And I was so excited to try those beet purees and vegetable purees and, you know, get them, see what they like and don't like. It was a real adventure with tastes.
Completely.
And flavors.
And you're introducing another human to food.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it as simply as that, it's kind of mind-blowing.
Absolutely. Well, let's enjoy it. Let's embrace it. Let's get the
love
kids
it.
Involved. And thank you so much, Lizzie.
Not
always
at all.
A joy. And we'll have you back very, very soon. And thank you to our lovely listeners for listening in. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Keeping It Real. Lizzie can be found on Instagram, Lizzie Loves Healthy, and has her blog, LizzieLovesHealthy.com. So, Lizzie, thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye, guys.
Ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.